Thank you for joining us for our series, Defeating Fear. Today, we want to talk about combating fear. Turn with me to Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Fear is one of the strongest motivators in our lives. It will either propel us to fight or to flee. It can cause inaction because we're crippled by it. Fear can grab our hearts so severely it is hard to break free. Fear affects our thinking, our ability to reason, our decisions, and how we act. The world is filled with reason why we may fear. Terrorism, mass shootings, killings, violence, war, diseases, disasters. Yet with all these things, God can and will steady our hearts. Fear is a choice. Worry is a choice. Depression is a choice. Unhappiness is a choice. Joshua 24 verse 15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Who will you serve? The enemy of fear, depression, worry, unhappiness, or the God of faith, peace, and hope? We get to choose at what address we will live. Will we reside at the address of fear or at the address of faith? You must decide that on a daily basis when fear is trying to control your life. The Apostle Paul was victorious over fear. He lived in faith and combated fear constantly. The word combat means battle, struggle, fought, warred against it, contended with it, resisted, tackled it, opposed it. Today, I want you to take you through his life to see how he handled fear and how he gained the victory over fear in his life and fulfilled tremendous things for the kingdom of God. I'm going to take you to Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and verse 10. It says, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city." As we look at the life of Paul, let me highlight some of the things he overcame. He overcame fear of what the other apostles would think about his conversion. Was it real since he had been killing Christians? He overcame fear of death. People plotted to stone him and Barnabas while they were in Iconium. He overcame imprisonment. In Berea, he faced a mob because the Jews stirred up the crowd against him. In Corinth, the Jews opposed him and became abusive of him. So he went to the Gentile race to minister the gospel message. He faced a riot in Ephesus. He was arrested in Jerusalem. He faced the Sanhedrin Council. He faced death. He faced hunger. He faced trials before Governor Felix, Festus, and Agrippa as the Jews plotted to ambush him and kill him. As he faced one deadly situation after another, he did not allow fear to grip his heart or to overtake his life. How? He understood that he was on a mission for Jesus Christ and realized that no one could take his life until he fulfilled those assignments. He kept his focus on Jesus as he faced one trial after another. I watched a story recently on the History Channel, and it was about a civil rights icon, who, when asked how he overcame fear and dealt with the beatings he took, he replied that he faced each encounter prepared to die. As a result of that, he was able to resist fear and to be victorious. I'm going to take you to Acts 27 as we journey a little bit further into the Apostle Paul's life. Acts 27, verses 8 through verse 15. It says, "We moved along the coast with the difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens and near the town of Lasea. Much time had been lost and sailing had already become dangerous because now it was after the fast. So Paul warned them, 'Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also.' But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in. The majority decided that they would sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force, called the Nor'easter, swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along." After all Paul faced, he continued in his service to God. He did not back off, nor did he back down due to fear. He kept pushing through each of the obstacles that he faced. In this story, he's on a ship sailing to Rome because he had an assignment in Rome. He was sailing to Rome as a prisoner to stand trial because of his faith and conviction about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tried to warn the sailors that their voyage would be disastrous, but they refused to listen to him. Naturally, they would not listen to him. He was a prisoner. God warns those whom he loves, and we can hear his warnings just like Paul heard the warning he gave him. The ship he was on with other prisoners encountered this huge storm. The storm was fierce. The people were fearful for their lives, but not Paul. He had an assignment to fulfill. The Lord gave Paul a message to share with the passengers. He said, "I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." When we are connected to people with a destiny, it can change our outcome. Because these sailors were connected to Paul, who had a destiny to fulfill in Rome, their lives were spared. Imagine the destruction of the ship in a vast storm without one lost life, because God was with Paul. God honored his word to Paul, and not one life was lost, and they ended up on the island of Malta. Once they were safely on the shore, the islanders were kind to them. As Paul started to gather a pile of wood, and as he put the wood on the fire, a snake that was driven out by the heat latched onto his hand. Paul shook the snake off into the fire. He exhibited no fear. We must shake fear off, just like Paul did to the snake. The islanders said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." So they watched to see if Paul would swell up and die suddenly, because that had been their experience in the past. But after they waited a long time and Paul remained alive, they thought he was a god. They had not previously seen anyone survive when bitten by this particular type of snake, yet Paul survived. And the reason Paul survived was because he still had purpose to accomplish in the earth. It is apparent that Paul understood the scripture in Mark 16:18, which said, "No deadly thing shall by any means harm you." Paul was not moved by fear of death from the snake bite. God gave him power to shake off the deadly attack. This holds true both in the natural as well as in the spiritual realm. When you come under attack by the devil, you have power to shake him off using the word of God, because no weapons formed against you shall prosper. That's what we are told in Isaiah 54:17. Fear has no power over you in the name of Jesus. Years ago, I heard a story about this pastor who was on a long flight when all of a sudden a fire broke out on the plane. Before he panicked, he prayed, and God simply told him he would get to his destination safely. Then he laid his head back and went to sleep while others around him were panicking. He had no fear because God was with him and God gave him a word. I am praying over myself and over others that we would have this complete trust and confidence in God, that when he speaks a word to us, we will not fear. Go with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 21 through 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 21 through 24. And it says this: "I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, and when he arrived in Tyre, he spent several days with the disciples who warned him not to go to Jerusalem. These warnings came from people Paul respected, men who had walked with Jesus for a significant amount of time. Paul heard the warnings, but he believed Jerusalem was his assignment from God. So he ignored the warnings and continued his journey. In every city he went, he was warned not to go to Jerusalem. So we must ask the question, were these warnings from God? Could Paul have been mistaken about going to Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit was warning him not to go? Or did Paul think it was fitting that he should be martyred in Jerusalem, where he had martyred so many Christians before? Was God testing Paul's willingness to follow what he told him? Or was God preparing him for what was to come? Paul faced many obstacles in his destiny, but he continued to pursue it regardless of what he was facing. The most effective warning Paul received was from a prophet named Agabus. Agabus took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, then said, "Thus said the Holy Spirit, the man whose belt this is will be bound in this manner by the Jews and delivered into the hands of the nations." Let me ask a question. How many of you have been stopped from a God-given assignment because of fear? People told you it was too dangerous. They questioned whether God would allow you to walk into any danger. Do you remember that Jesus faced many dangerous and deadly situations as he came to free us? And if he did, what would make us exempt from facing some struggles? So when Paul arrived, some of the Jews from Asia recognized him and stirred up the crowd against him. They accused him of turning people against their laws and bringing Greeks into the temple and defiling it. So the people came running from all directions, seized Paul, dragged him from the temple. They were about to kill him, but God intervened because the news got to the commander of the Roman troops, and they ran to the scene and stopped the beating. He was facing some severe trials, but fear did not control him. Paul was arrested, bound in chains, and questioned, just as Agabus had prophesied. He was ordered to the barracks, but the violence of the crowd was so great that the soldiers had to carry him out. The crowd was not violent because Paul had murdered, hurt, or maimed anyone. They were incensed because he had broken their laws, the laws given by Moses that many of them had also broken, but wanted to hurt Paul because he did not pass it on to the Gentiles. I want you to know this. In the midst of obstacles, God will always provide opportunities for you to share about him. Paul recognized his opportunity and he seized it and asked permission to address the crowd. On the stairway to the Roman castle, the same castle where Pilate had condemned Jesus to death 28 years before, Paul shared his encounter with a risen Savior on the Damascus Road. 28 years before, the people had shouted to Pilate, saying, "Away with Jesus, crucify him." Now the people were shouting the same thing about Paul, "Away with him." History was repeating itself, but Paul did not let fear stop him. He kept declaring the gospel. The people listened until he mentioned the word Gentiles. Then they became incensed again. The next day, Paul was brought before the Jewish council, the same one that had crucified Jesus Christ. The same council Paul used to be a member of. It was the same council that gave permission to stone Stephen. The same council that made repeated efforts to crush the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had come full circle right back to where he started. But unlike Jesus and Stephen, it was not Paul's turn to die. God had other plans for him. Paul had heard the warnings concerning what he would encounter in Jerusalem, but he went anyway. Why? God had chosen this road to his assignment, and it had to be fulfilled. I want to just remind you of some people's road to their assignment as listed in the Bible. Joseph's road to his destiny was prison. Jesus's road to his destiny was the cross. All of us have a road. We must travel to our destiny, and we must travel it fearlessly, knowing that God is with us and that he will give us the victory and that we will never be alone as we journey towards our destiny. Though Paul's testimony was powerful, and though Paul's life was transformed by the grace and the mercy of God, he still faced difficulties, but he faced them without fear. And through his testimony, the Jewish people had another chance to embrace Jesus, to love him, to receive him, because they could see somebody in their midst who was just like them, whose life had been transformed by the power of the resurrected Jesus. Paul was a living testimony of a life that was changed, and the people needed to see someone of their own sect who had encountered Jesus and whose life was radically changed. The council that crucified Jesus was being given a chance to see that the same Jesus had power to radically change a life. He changed Paul's life. He made him his mouthpiece. And that same Jesus was willing to forgive them what they had done to him. And he was willing to save and to change their lives and to give them a future of service in his kingdom. The council was presented with yet another opportunity to make better decisions. I want to say to you today, Jesus did not live. Stephen did not survive because they stoned him to death. But Paul lived, so they must have learned something during this season of their life. Paul faced every enemy, even his own religious affiliations, and he faced them fearlessly, because he knew that God was with him. He knew that God was standing with him. He knew that he had the backing of the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And because he knew this, he faced every single one of them victoriously. Paul looked fear in the face and said no to flight and yes to faith. When you are facing fear, do you look at it? And do you still remember and decide that since God is for you, that no one can successfully be against you? And do you face it knowing that because Jesus has already won, so have you? It takes faith in Jesus to stand up to fear and to win. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The perfect love God has for you, the scripture says, it casts out fear. Whatever you are facing today that's causing you to deal with fear, I want you to know, as you look at the life of the Apostle Paul and all the challenges he faced, he looked fear in the face and he moved forward because he refused to allow fear to stop him in anything that he was doing for Christ and for the advancement of the gospel in the earth. What fear has you in its grip? 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You need to remember that the greater one lives in you and you can combat it. Speak to fear. It can hear you because it's a spirit. Remember 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear is a spirit that has been sent from the devil to harass your life. So speak to the spirit of fear and command it in the name of Jesus Christ to get out of your life. Tell fear, God has not given you fear, but God has given you power, he's given you love, and he's given you sound mind. Control the thoughts. Cast down the vain imaginations of fear and every high thing that's trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every single one of those fear in obedience to Jesus Christ. You can combat fear and win every single time. How? By finding your kingdom assignment and by understanding that Jesus will keep you alive until you finish it. Just think about that for a moment. Think about Jesus. He lived for 30 years to fulfill a 3-year destiny. And along the journey to his destiny, he knew what he would face. He knew the horrific nature of the cross because he knew what the Romans' crucifixion looked like. Yet he still faced it. And while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you saw the tremendous agony he was in. But he faced his fear. He faced the people who were trying to kill him. He did not do what Adam and Eve did. He faced his fear. He gained the victory. And he's given you and I the victory over fear. That is why Paul was victorious, because he anchored himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same victory Jesus gained over fear, so did Paul. You can gain victory over fear today because Jesus is with you. Don't flee from fear. Fight and overcome it in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up every person who's listening to this broadcast in fear. Truly, fear is a spirit and it did not come from you. I thank you for the love that you've poured into every heart and into every life. I thank you, Lord, that you have not given us, any of us, a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I pray that we'll remember that you're with us and that you're fighting for us and that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. It does not mean the weapons will not be formed by the enemy, but they will not prosper in our lives in the name of Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name that those who are fearing, whether it is diseases, whether it is a lack, whether it's divorce, whether it's a challenge with their children, whatever the struggles, if they're fearing eviction because they're struggling financially, whatever they're fearing, I pray today that by the blood that Jesus poured out at Calvary for them, that you will give them the victory in the precious name of the Messiah, King of Heaven. Lord, would you hear? Would you move? Would you touch them in the midst of their circumstances? Would you let them know that you're available to them? And would you let them know that every time they pray, every time they cry out to you, that you hear them and that you will answer them? We pray your peace in their storms. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.